Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
Hello, you're listening to the PHP Podcast, episode 2024.11.1, the official podcast of the PHP Architect, of PHP Architect, where we bring you the latest insights into the PHP Architect magazine, conferences, and more. I'm your host, John Congdon, and with me is my friend and business partner, Eric the Man Van Johnson.
That was a lot. That was probably a little too much.
Nah, I like your old intro's better.
You can join us in our Discord if you want to be part of the live stream at discord.phparch.com. And in theory, the title suggestion should be working now. Just do a bang title and what you think the title of the show could be. Matter of fact, the reigning champion of the old podcast, A-Woods, is in there now. Should probably give it a test, A-Woods. You can be the first to test out the new improved bot. We record every Thursday around this time, around 3 p.m. Pacific time. And yeah, we talk about PHP, PHP-related stuff, PHP community, tech stuff, and of course, the magazine and the conference. So yeah.
Not a big fan of that font. Like I put that lower third on there because all the other ones are gone for some reason. That font is rough.
I like the font. You don't like the font. That's your problem, not mine.
I have issues. I admit. Man, oh man. What happens tomorrow? I'm excited about that.
Tomorrow?
I'm already jumping into the closing of our call for papers. If you have not submitted for the PHP Tech call for papers, get your submissions in. This is your final warning. We're not going to be on the air again to give you the ultimatum. Get them in or you won't be selected. Can't be selected. You may not be selected even if you get them in. What can I say? It's kind of the way the process works.
Yeah, Jeffrey. Kind of awkward. Oh, yeah. Where is our Discord? Here's our Discord. Hey, Discord. How are you doing? Yeah, join us in our Discord and be part of the show. You see how that rolls. Yeah, got the bot working apparently. Real happy about that. Tried a new micro framework based off of Laravel that's specifically for Discord bots. So, you know, we've always had like the title suggestion, which is fun. It's cool, but I don't know. I mean, if anybody has any ideas of what they'd like to see Archie the bot do in the Discord, let me know. I had the old bot did a couple of other things that nobody ever used. Like it did a cheat sheet where you could type in, you know, I forget what the command was, and then a PHP command, and it would tell you what that command did. But nobody used it, and I didn't really market it that well. But anything functional, like if you guys have any ideas for anything functional, let me know. I'll be down to add it. Maybe we'll even keep the bot running all the time. Right now, I just fire it up before the show just so we have it for the titles. But yeah, I'm fine.
I don't know that I interact with bots very often.
Yeah, I can't either. I can't think of anything like,
especially in Discord.
Right. I don't go to Discord to talk to bots.
I think the only time I have in other Discord servers were when they wanted you to enter some stupid contest and you interact with the bot for that.
Yeah.
And not saying our contest would be stupid. Maybe we'll host contests of some sort and you could enter
that. Are awesome. Yeah.
I spoke too quickly there when I said stupid contest.
Yes, we've had a few of our own. So the conference, we're still on track to do this?
We are still on track to do this. As far as I know, I have not looked at our burn down chart, but I think we are currently on track. We have a little bit of time left. I'm feeling very run down today. I don't know why, but all of a sudden I started feeling sick last night, and I'm like, where did this come from? Because my kids aren't sick, which means I'm not supposed to be sick, and might be. So,
dear.
Made for a very long day so far.
It doesn't look like the the cards are posting, the links are posting.
There.
Because you did move that card over.
Right.
That sucks.
I don't know what how you normally do it. I just click the add another list and then I titled it. That's all I've done.
Yeah, that should be fine. Add another card. You're saying the list. Yeah, that should have been fine. I gotta look at the code. It should have just looked for the most recent list and start pulling from there, but obviously it's not. So
do you have to fire up the bot after that is created?
Shit, I don't know. Let's try it.
that's gonna be my guess is when you fire it up, it reads the lists.
Yeah. So I just did it again. Move it back over, see what happens.
Live debugging on the air. Gotta love it.
Oh man. Anyways, why would we wait for that not to work? What you been up to this week? Anything fun?
So yesterday I did a lot of running around in the afternoon. So between kids' activities, took my kid rock climbing, and my wife dropped my other son off skateboarding, and then I had to pick them both up, and I had other errands to run. During that time, one of our clients released some code that I've been working on for 2 weeks that, of course, blew up in a couple of different ways. And I told her before releasing, I'm not going to be available from about 2:30 till probably 9 o'clock at night, because I thought I had a Little League board meeting to attend, which turns out I don't know how to read calendars and there wasn't one. So I showed up to an empty building. Beside the point, I'm sitting there picking up my son from skateboard camp on my laptop in my car, trying to look at an issue. And I still think it was just timing of the release where there were jobs still piled up waiting to be run, sending data that the other service wasn't ready for.
Okay.
Or it was expecting the newer stuff, but it had older jobs. So it was getting a type error, and it was simple. Get in there, throw an if block around it. If you don't have this data, because we didn't used to have it, just don't worry about it. Then I get home and they're like, that didn't fix it. I'm like, what? What do you mean that didn't? That had to fix it. Like, literally, it's the only thing you could do. And turns out there were two issues at the same time. And they conflated the two, thinking that it was all in the same thing. The second one was I changed some paths in the S3 bucket, and the way this one UI element was written, it was almost hard coded to the old path structure.
Mm-hmm.
So why that wasn't caught prior to it going out, I don't know, but I never used that part of the website, so I didn't even think to look there. So at the end of the day, it was an easy fix. It's just annoying that all of a sudden code's going live, I know I'm not available, and things are breaking. Sort of break.
Well, that sounds awesome. So you went to a Little League board meeting that wasn't there. Am I understanding that right?
Yeah, you're understanding that 100% correct.
I have a better one for you that I don't think I ever shared with you. Not going to get in the big backstory, but yeah, I went through chemo at for a time, and my wife was really concerned about my mental health and kept encouraging me to go to this support group for people going through chemo, people with cancer, and kind of talk things out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really feel like I needed it, but, you know, whatever. I was fine to do it. So I go on their website. It's the whole... Yeah, you're not on this journey alone. You know, there are others. Join, you know, come join our group. We'll be there for you. We'll support you. I'm like, oh God, whatever. I go, yeah, nobody shows up.
You felt so supported.
I'm like sitting outside this, I think it was a church or one of these other
community center.
I think it was a church. Yeah, I think it was a church, actually. I'm sitting out in this parking lot by myself for like an hour, and I started emailing like the site. I'm like, am I in the wrong place? And finally the guy emails me back. He's like, oh yeah, we just decided not to meet today. Sorry, I didn't know you were coming. I'm like, you dick.
The one time I seek out support and you're not there for me.
Man, when you said that, I went back to that, like, sitting in that park. I kind of felt you, like, sitting in that parking lot, like, this doesn't seem right. all right.
For the Little League thing, it's actually my second time showing up with nobody there. The first time was during the playoffs, and they canceled the meeting because people were going to go watch the playoffs. And I was like, I missed the email, so I'm sitting there in the room all by myself. And then last night, I don't know what happened. I just got it in my head that there was a board meeting. Told my wife, you know, a few days ago that there was one. I actually replied to another board member saying, she's a new board member. I'm like, are you going to be at the board meeting tomorrow? And she said, no, I didn't know there was one. Nobody replied to that saying, hey, by the way, there isn't one. you might want to.
Everybody else is like, oh, shit, I didn't have it on my calendar. Oh, well, I'm busy, you know.
Yep. Pretty much.
Yeah.
How about you? How's your week?
Oh, it's all right. Got a weird week going on so far. Having a hard time trying to stay on task lately for some reason. I don't know what that's about, but talking to a client about some, you know, new services they want to use that I don't know how on board I am with them yet, but we'll see. Didn't get a lot of coding done. Like I said, I got the bot coded up over the weekend. Nothing else really going on. I did. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't want to get people too excited here. I don't want to set the bar too high, but I wrote an article for PHP Architect in the event that we needed it to release. And I'm just going to say, it's going to change your life. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm overhyping this, but it's going to be the best thing you ever read. It's going to be, John, tell them what I said. Pulitzer, that's what I said. It's going to be Pulitzer, what gets us a Pulitzer. And I might be overselling it.
Just a little bit. And it's probably going to be in this month's magazine because we need writers.
Where are all the writers at, for crying out loud?
People blog for free, but they won't come to us and say, hey, give me some money for content.
We pay. We pay well, I might add. But yeah, if you ever want to write for the magazine, 2,500, 3,500 words, which not that hard to do, really, and pay you $175 for them if we use it. It has to be unique. If it's something you previously blogged about, like a blog post that you want to convert to an article, we'll take it. We'll talk about it. I think we've been paying like $100 for those or something. If it's like a repurposed, retread sort of article, but yeah, come at us with a little unique article that you haven't blogged about anywhere. You will have $175 in gold bars. that's the only way John is paying people now, is with gold bars.
Oh my goodness, that was hilarious. We always get spam from people, you know, trying to get money. Eric gets email saying, hey, this is John. I need you to send me some cash or some gift cards or whatever. And we had somebody send us an invoice for, what was it, organizational stuff? It was very weird, but it was $39,000. And they're trying to make it seem like I had recently replied to them saying, send me the invoice, you know, we'll get it paid. So I wrote back and said, this sounds fantastic. But unfortunately, with the recent election, we don't have confidence in the US dollar. So we've closed all our bank accounts and converted it all to gold. Can I send you some gold bars and coins to pay it? Let me know where to send that.
Allie, we didn't hear from it. It's funny because it wasn't a small amount. Like normally these guys are like, oh yeah, you know, $100 or $150. This is just like $28,000.
Yeah, $39,000. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. It only takes one. I keep telling people.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You can get a lot of those little $100 ones because people are like, that's $100. Like, get it. Like, just leave me alone. But you get one of those 39,000 ones. There you go.
Yep. All right. Do we want to talk about the magazine at all? Do we want to like give sneak peeks of, as far as like what's going to be published as far as titles? We can do that. You guys want to know what we're working on?
Again. I wasn't necessarily prepared for that, but whatever.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not like I have it open or anything. Let me see. Who do we have? in layout here, currently in layout. Cybersecurity awareness from Eric Mann. Man, that's going to be good. Deploying your application for Education Station, Chris Tankersley.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Miller is in prep, so the origins of PHP. Oh, yeah, he's been talking about doing this one for a while.
He's going to be doing a series of articles kind of walking through the history of PHP, basically.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that one. We got Oscar coming in with PHP Foundry, old school recipes for output. You know what I used to love? I don't know. I doubt if it's still a thing. So what were the O'Reilly books? All right, remember the O'Reilly books? Like If you coded in anything, you got an O'Reilly book for it. I used to love, I didn't enjoy so much the books that like explained everything, but the cookbooks. You ever get the cookbooks? Good God. I had a Python cookbook that I like had every fourth page earmarked with something. I would always earmark ones that had like good little scripts. And yeah, we should do some. That's what we need. That's what we should do. We should build a website of a cookbook website.
If only there wasn't one already out there. Speaking of books, we've got two currently underway. I've been heavily laying out the first one. I'm hoping to get that done by the end of the year. It's going to be a book on OpenSwole, PHP and OpenSwole.
Fun.
And then the next one's going to be PHP and LLMs. So excited about that.
Oh, we landed that one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's Alfred, right?
Yep.
I'm a big fan of him. Yeah, I talked to him. He actually pulled me to the side at Laricon this year, and we talked a little bit. And he's just, man, the guy is crazy smart. I've known him for a while. I think I met him at Laricon in Chicago one year or something. But yeah, great guy. So yeah, he was all about LLMs and AI. And I'm like, yeah, that all sounds great. So.
Yeah,
I'm excited about that one. Really excited to see what he produces. So well,
yeah. I can tell you, I'm getting a lot of practice with the layout. So hopefully it can go pretty quick. Maybe I'll get that out in Q1 next year.
So unfortunately, let me go ahead and pull these up because my bot's not working. So you guys aren't going to be able to click on it yourself. But I'm going to jump into some articles here only because it's kind of PHP adjacent, I guess we'll call it. So the who are these guys again? The CISA has released a bunch of recommendations on keeping cybersecurity strong moving forward. Some things, a lot of the stuff is stuff you expected, like two-factor authentication, patch vulnerable exploits, those sort of things. I mean, nothing earth-shattering there. But the first one is the development of new product lines for use and services of critical infrastructure or NCFs in a memory unsafe language, e.g. C or C++, where there are readily available alternative memory safe languages that could be used, is dangerous and significantly elevates risk of national economic security and national public health and safety. Now, why is all that important? Well, because PHP is written in C. I actually reached out to Sarah Goldman on who is part of the internals team and said, hey, is this something you guys are talking about? Is this something we should be concerned about? And she said, I'm happy to talk to you about it a little bit in more detail, but like the short answer is people just need to stay in their lane and not worry about this stuff. If you know Sarah, that's like on brand for her. But yeah, so
aren't most of today's programming languages based in C?
This is the thing. Like, this is no small order what they're saying. It's like, it's not like there are, even the archaic language like COBOL and stuff are still around. So it's not like this is like that kind of archaic language where nobody's doing anything with it anymore. It's very much in use, and it's used in quite a few places. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. And like their recommended actions were to just, oh, hey, just shift over to a memory safe language. It's like, yeah, it's not that simple, dude. Like, I don't know. We're not changing oil in a car or something. It takes real effort to do that. So yeah, that was, and of course, the reason this actually caught my eye because Linux is a lot of stuff in Linux is written in C, and they're the register picked it up and like, oh yeah, hey, this is kind of a big deal. And yeah, so I don't know. I'll see what comes of this. I don't know how seriously people take these sort of recommendations. And like, if it weren't for the fact, like, everything else on this list is so, why is this just hitting your list now? Like, this is like, you should have been preaching this years ago sort of thing. And maybe they were. I followed it.
Usually these lists are, they're just shifting things around of where they're at within the list. It's not like it's a new list.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. It's definitely a lot of work. It's not a simple thing by any means. Any stretch of the imagination. So I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
I don't know where PHP would, I mean, PHP being on top of C would affect PHP itself, but not necessarily our apps, because for us, PHP, I think, is memory safe. We're not worried about buffer overflows as much, unless that is getting down into some of the C specific libraries.
Mm-hmm.
But then I don't know.
Security's overrated, man. You don't have to really worry that much about it.
So. Yeah, just put code out there. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Don't even use HTTPS anymore. It's you don't even need it.
Costs too much. That's one of my, going back to the board, the Little League board, it's one of my annoyances right now is because it's all volunteer run, nobody knows where anything is at. And as the new webmaster, it's like, I can't even make the site secure because nobody knows how to get into their Hover account so that I can put in some sort of SSL endpoint there. Like,
yeah,
it's so frustrating.
All right. What do we got coming out in 8.4? Speaking of PHP, anything
one week from today, 8.4 is released. I am super excited about this.
Really? Is this the one Eric Mann's releasing?
Let's say yes. So yeah, 8.4 is released a week from today. So excited about things like the property hooks and the asymmetric property. Just up my head, but having variables that can be private set, publicly read is going to be huge.
Privately set, publicly read. Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we talked about this a lot. I know we talked about this a lot, but every time I hear somebody say how excited they are about property hooks, and Derek in our Discord, was it Derek? Or no, it was Garfield in our Discord talking about doing a property hooks talk. Somebody was talking about doing a property hooks talk.
Yep.
I'm not there. Like, I don't understand the excitement behind it. And I know I feel like such an idiot for not being excited about it, but I still don't understand it that well because it just doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal.
How do you feel about the property promotion that we have now?
Love the property promotion.
You love the public read only?
Yeah.
Okay. I love that too. I think I told you within the past couple episodes that I had a ticket come across to make a change where I could do it in like three files. But while I was in the main file I was working on, I'm like, I want to make all of these properties private read or public read only. And once I did that, I got rid of like 10 or 15 functions that were just getters, which meant I had to go touch like 50 some other files to stop using the getter methods and access the things, which is great for value objects. But what if I don't have a value object? I now need this asymmetric visibility where I can have a private setter and a public, basically access to the thing publicly to get the variable. So now I get rid of all of my getter and setter functions, and I just access the properties directly, which is great. Now the property hooks builds on top of that, where you don't have to have functions to do the same thing of getting and setting. And now you can put those properties on interfaces, not just concrete classes. So it's going to get rid of so much boilerplate code within our applications that I'm really excited about it.
I guess I'll have to use it. And I do love getting rid of code like that. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I like the property promotion so much. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I'll get on board with it. I just need to use it in practice.
Yeah.
I'm going to apologize for this next one, John, because I totally meant to send it to you before the show, because I know you're a Doctrine user.
Yep.
And I wanted to make sure I understood what this was telling me, but I guess the newest release of Doctrine is going to be enum type aware. Like it's going to introduce enum type columns. I'm like, okay, well, databases, first thing, we're talking about Doctrine. We're not talking about the actual table. So how did Doctrine handle enums previously? And then if I'm reading this correctly, this means that Doctrine is just going to be, if you create an enum type, you'll be able to reference that in the Doctrine. Like, that's it. Like, you don't have to do any other real work with it.
I mean, you can do that today, but it's a custom type. So you have to do a little bit more work behind the scenes to make that mapping work, where it sounds like this is just going to be, you type it. Yeah, you can see the old setup, that top mm-hmm. one. You had mm-hmm. to say the type and what the enum type was. And now it's just it's aware. You have an enum there? Okay, you're good.
Interesting. Okay.
Oh, and you, right. I guess.
So it was a custom. It was, okay, I get it. So you would define it in the
annotations.
Yeah, right. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. So like that top one, you can see you said it was a suit class, and here are the values that are allowed for it.
Right.
Well, we already know what the values are because it's an enum type. So you don't need to specify that anymore.
Right. Okay. All right. That seems cool.
It will be really cool. Yeah. We actually did a thing recently where in Doctrine, I have this table that I created many, many years ago for a single purpose. And because the database is so large, adding columns to tables was a pain in the ass. So I created this quick table user property, which just had a user ID, a name, and a value. And it was literally written for one thing, and it's blown up into this overly used piece of the system now, where we just like, oh, we need to store something new on about a user, throw it in this table.
Yeah.
And if I could get into the details on how overused it is ridiculous. But anyway, we had the concept of, I wanted to change out how that was done, and they didn't go quite as far as I wanted to go, because I wanted it all event sourced, and the people that wrote it chose not to do that. Sad panda. But it's taking the concept of a document store, using MySQL to store the data in a JSON column. But now we have a document, which is a class in our system that Doctrine just takes care of all the mapping through single table inheritance. So mm-hmm. when it pulls it out, it says, oh, this is a document of type X. I'll give you that X object back and with all the data. Oh, no, it's a document of type Y. I'll give you a Y object back and with all the data. So now we can have richer data instead of this string name to string value,
mm-hmm.
where you could possibly encode something in there and then decode it later and have richer data. This mm-hmm. literally encodes it all properly. And speaking of Larry Garfield, using Surday to serialize and deserialize that data. It's really slick.
What was that last part you said?
So Surday, S-E-R-D-E. Should get
S E R D E.
Yeah. Is a library written by Larry Garfield. And it takes serialization and deserialization, just that next step further. And I don't use it. I haven't gone deep into how we're using it. I just know that it overcomes a lot of the issues that we had using just plain old PHP serialization.
I am really curious what it does. Like, what's it adding to serialization that you find beneficial?
I think one of the big things, and if you go back to phptech.tv, you can watch video on it. Serialization and deserialization of PHP objects currently have some limitations, especially if the objects change between serialization. So you serialize the version today, and then tomorrow you have a new version. It could, if you're not coding defensively, it could cause you issues. I think this helps with a lot of that.
Oh, all right. So you say there's a talk on it, phptech.tv?
There is.
What should be? What year?
Last year? I don't know.
This year?
I would say 24.
Well, we have a search year.
Look for. Yeah, all right, look. Well, maybe he didn't do that one. Did we not accept that? Look for Garfield.
I don't know if I do a search on. I don't do a search on talk.
Well, now I feel bad. Now I feel bad on that.
Don't feel bad. You know, it gave us an excuse to show off phptech.tv on the stream. So you should feel good about that. And honestly, it might be here. Like, I threw that search on there, like, really last. Like, it's just a Livewire plugin. It's not even a good search. So it very well could be here.
Maybe he didn't do a talk on it. Maybe he talked just about
talk
it.
Talk to you.
that or maybe he did an uncon that we didn't tape
or put up. That's possible too. Yeah. So if you weren't aware, and we can shut this out now if you want, but if you weren't aware, when you purchase a ticket to PHP Tech, you automatically get access to the live streams on PHP Tech TV. Now you're saying, hey, I purchased the ticket to Tech. Why do I need to see the live streams? Well, you don't, but they're there after the conference. But you also get access to all the previous conferences from the conference you attend. So in theory, and I guess we could attest to this last year, but in theory, if you don't go this year, you won't. But you went last year, you won't get this year or next year. You won't get next year's talks. But if you go next year, you get next year's talk, this year's talk, and last year's talk. And that's how it's going to happen moving forward. So we are kind of excited about that because our little library is building up. I need to spend some time because we talk about this all the time. This was thrown up very last minute a couple of years ago. And I've given it some love over the years, but really need to kind of get in here and do some real work with it. But the cool thing about this, I like the fact that you can see who sponsored that year. So each year you go to, you see the sponsors for that year and stuff. I think you got a good point. I should have the search include the presenters as well. So I'll probably, that's going to itch my brain for a while. I'm going to have to go and probably work on that. I need to work on search just in general, where it's actually searching the description as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just looked. We did decline that talk, serializing modern PHP this year.
This year, right.
In 24.
Right. Which is this year. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe next year. Sounds like it would be a good one to get in there.
Yep. Speaking of the talks, I want to throw it out there. Anyone that's watching, if you want to help us choose the talks for 2025, please reach out to us on Discord. And I haven't talked to Eric yet, or maybe I did. We're going to offer $100 discount on your ticket if you want to help us out.
You 100% did not talk to me about that, you bastard.
Whoops. I meant we're not going to give you a discount unless you help us out and ask for it.
So Call for Papers ends tomorrow. If this is something that interests you, you want to get this in. What happened to our branding? This is terrible. I don't draw attention to it, John. Don't draw attention to it. Just whatever you do, don't draw attention to it. I'm just, this is, what the hell's going on here?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know? Yeah, of course you don't. Because, you know, what is there to talk about? There's nothing to talk about. We're just going to fix this here.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong?
Don't know what you're talking about. I saw nothing.
Nothing to see here. You just keep on with the show.
Probably just need remove that.
Yeah. PHP Tech Dad doesn't look so good, but yeah. So Call for Papers ends tomorrow. For all you lovely speakers out there and those wannabe speakers, get your talks in, man. It's going to be a blast.
And please submit more than one. Please submit 2, 3, 4 options for us to choose from.
Yeah. And this year we added a blog. So as we think of things to talk about or things to kind of address for the conference, this is where we're going to add that information. Last year was a perfect example. Corey, who helps us a lot with social media last year for the conference, put together a bunch of things to do in Chicago. And we're like, oh, you know, this is a great idea. But because we didn't have any way to like really convey it, we just went in there and created another page for it. But this year it's like, oh yeah, you know, we'll just create blog posts for all that stuff and make it really easy to get to. So don't forget that the blog post is there. I think I even have an RSS feed for this, but I couldn't tell you what it was now.
Yeah, we found it live last time we talked about it. My latest one, increased comfort during presentations. We've talked about Larry Garfield a couple times. I feel so bad for his talk he gave this year or 23? Anyway, the room was absolutely packed and...
Oh, right. Good point.
Yeah. Now we're going to have 3 big rooms, plenty of space for everyone to sit. So that should not be an issue this year.
We're talking about the next year. We're talking about
25. Yeah.
If you want this year, the way the room was set up, it was narrow, right? Where the presenter, you came in the door, the presenter was the other side. And then for the big room, we had 2 screens set up. And then we had 2 small rooms like that. And we're thinking, since we're going to have 2 big rooms there, we're thinking about switching that around and making it so that the presenter is on one side of the room and the doors will be to your side, not behind you anymore. We're going to see. We're still kind of talking if that makes more sense or not. But comfort is a big deal. Like we heard people, we heard what you said, and we definitely want to make sure everybody's comfortable there. And we want to, it doesn't, like, no matter how hard we try. Last year we ended up with the big ballroom, a big presentation room, and 2 small presentation rooms, and doesn't fail every time. It's the small room that gets the biggest crowd. So we're dead set to get this right next year. I'm still blaming this year on
John. It was 100% my fault. I'm taking that one.
Everybody benefited from your mistake, except for, you know, the comfort thing. But like, there were more talks, there were more presenters. It was a great idea, and quite honestly, I think if we had the room to do it, it would be make sense to continue to do it. But I'd rather have the spacious rooms than the extra track next year.
Yeah, so I agree.
It'll be fun. We'll make it work. Oh, all right. Where else are we? I kind of have some stuff on here that. All right, I got a story for you. This is a new podcast, so people don't know. Have you ever heard of PERT? PERT?
I have not.
I haven't either. But I guess this is one of those project management things, right? And it's this process that you go through as a project manager to help give better estimates to people, to business owners, on how much things are. It's an interesting... It's an interesting concept. Where's the calculation here? There was a calculation. This might be the website. This is, what is a PERT chart? I don't think this is what I wanted. Did you process long time? Blah, blah, blah. Anyways, somewhere there's a calculation for this where you basically take the most optimistic time it would take something to do, the most likely time you think it would take something to do something, yeah. And then the like this is the longest that it would take to get this done, sort of thing. And there's this whole, you take all those numbers and you do these calculations where you multiply one by four, then you add it to the other one, you subtract this other one, and the reason I know all this, because if you've listened to any other podcasts we've done, you'll know I am not the biggest fan of the title of project manager. And the reason I looked into this, because our client, one of the people for our client, reached out to me and said, "Hey, would you be interested to talk about this?" I'm like, "Sure. Why?" And it wasn't unusual, because he is in a position where he's working with business owners and relaying times on how long it takes you to do something. And so the fact that he asked for this, I'm like, all right, cool. He's found this little calculation to do this. That's fine. And I reached out to him. I'm like, yeah, his big question to me is, when you calculate time, what are you calculating it on? Just experience? I'm like, yeah, because there's really no metric to really calculate time. He's like, well, what are the factors? Like, when you say something's going to take, 2 days and ends up taking 2 weeks, why does that happen? I'm like, okay, well, first thing, when I say something is, I don't say something's going to take 2 days. I say something's going to take 16 hours. And that means that the developer would have to work on this effort for 16 hours, and that might not be a continuous 16 hours. So first thing, that might be 2 weeks to get those 16 hours in. But more importantly, the thing that really trips you up, provided that you don't come back to us with scope creep and say, oh yeah, well, we also needed to do this and we also need to do that. Provided you don't do that, is we get into the code base and we realize that to accomplish what it is we thought was going to be pretty simple to accomplish ends up being a lot more complex because of legacy code that's tied into things, and we have to unpack a bunch of stuff. So he's appreciating. He's a very understanding person. He's appreciating what I'm telling him, and then he informs me, he goes, "Yeah, I'm going to get a certification, this project manager certification," and I just had to tell him right there. I'm like, We cannot be friends anymore. I don't want you calling me. I don't want you looking at me.
I found your calculation on that sheet.
Awesome. Where's that?
It's most of the way down. It's the PERT formula and when to use it. You're basically taking your optimistic time. Like, if I was being super optimistic, it's going to take 16 hours. Most likely, it's going to take maybe 32. Maybe it's going to... And you're pessimistic, like, worst case scenario, I get in here and it's just, crappy, like really not going to work out well. Mm-hmm. Then maybe it's going to take, 72 hours or whatever it is. Yeah. And then you multiply your most likely time by four, add in your optimistic time and your pessimistic time and divide that whole thing by six. And that's
and really, I'm really your expected where time. Six comes from the funny
because
thing about
it, because it's it's six different time slots. It's four most likelies, one optimistic, one pessimistic.
Oh, I so see. And you average out the six,
right?
I see. So I didn't have the heart to tell them, but like the practice basically is to figure out, like, as a team, we sit there and talk about what the most likely time is. And then we typically multiply that by like two, three, or four, depending on the more complex it is, the more padding is what we call it, right? Padding we'll put on it. And that's usually doubling, tripling, or quadrupling that number, because we understand that that's really the thing. So I don't even know what to give them for a pessimistic time anymore. Because that just seems like it'd be so crazy. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like I don't know what number you could give them where multiplying that by four doesn't exceed the pessimistic time. Like, if your pessimistic time is still bigger than your most likely times four, that seems crazy to me, right?
Well, I don't think it's supposed to be per se. Like, that it really should be your worst case scenario. Like, I get in here and I don't understand anything that is happening in the code base and I still need to get this done. I think that's the padding you're talking about. So optimistically, yeah, that's going to take me a couple days. More than likely, because I'm not going to sit there and focus, like, I'm not going to get 16 hours in a row to focus, or 2 8-hour days in a row. I'm going to get 4 hours here, 4 hours there. So more than likely, it's going to take me, you know, 5 days. It's going to take me 40 hours. And then worst case, it's going to take me 2 weeks because I don't know what I don't know. And that's like the worst case scenario. And then it's just an average within there.
Yeah, it still won't work. does, but I encouraged him to do it. I mean, and like I said, this is great because it gives us whatever more information we can give them. Because I always feel like the client, they never express this, and it's just me being self-conscious. But like, they always think that we're just guessing at this stuff, or I don't know. I just feel bad when they ask how long it's going to take this to get, how long it's going to take to get this done, and we just reply with it's going to be 20 hours. I feel like I want to give them more information. You know, I like the idea of, oh, I can give them three numbers now. You know, I can, and yeah, I like that. I like the optimistically we can get it done in a couple of days. You know, more likely it's going to take a week. Shouldn't take any more than 3 or 4 weeks, and just give them all those numbers and let them run off and do whatever they want to with it.
Mm-hmm. Let them run this calculation and then multiply it by 3.
Because you know that's what they do. They still pad it before they give it to the end client, the end user. So,
yep.
All right. What else do I have in here? I don't remember where we talked about this, but I have a column in here with the... I talked about at Laracon this year, this new defer method and how it works, where basically when you defer something, it lets my understanding of it was like queuing without the queue, right? It lets the rest of the application move on while it works on this thing you deferred without adding it to a queue. And there's an article here, The Magic Behind Laravel's New Defer Helper, which I read, and yeah, it does make sense what he says in here, but basically what it comes down to, where is it? I think it's probably down here at the bottom. But they're making use of PHP FPM, which I thought to myself when I saw that, I'm like, you know, like not all machines have that installed. Like the Apache module for PHP, does that doesn't include like an FPM, right? That's FPM is for the Nginx.
No, you correct? Can use that. You can use FPM with Apache, but yeah, you also have the. I haven't used mod PHP in forever, but that was the module that was PHP kind of inside of Apache. But yeah, you can use that. You can use FPM with it.
Yeah. So there. This will be in the show notes. You know, I don't know what else to say, but he kind of gets into how it's working and what it's using, which is all kind of interesting, but you'll have to get in there. I'm not going to sit here and read this one to you. Yeah, so if you're curious, if you heard about the Laravel defer method, which is very cool, this is, go show notes and check out this article. It'll be kind of, oh yeah, fast. I just lied to you. So essentially Laravel relies upon the protocol of fast CGI. Okay. That first needs to be enabled on the server. So FastCGI maintains a pool of PHP processes that persist beyond executing a single request. This means that the PHP process does not update immediately after sending the response, allowing Laravel to execute additional code.
That's going to be the response
is dispatched.
That will be interesting for people that are hosting on a server they have no control over.
Ah, good point. Yeah, right?
You put defer in there and all of a sudden it doesn't work. What happens?
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be interesting.
And how's error handling happen in this scenario? I mean, I assume you have to account for that in your code, like do a try catch sort of thing inside of the defer?
No, defer would make it run in a separate process, so you would have no access to it anymore.
So if that piece of code doesn't work, like it errors out, it breaks.
Oh, because FastCGI isn't enabled? That's a good
point. FastCGI is enabled, right? Okay. But the end user won't see the error. Wouldn't they? Their response has been replied to already.
Right. That's the whole point of it. So you need to
Developer,
logging or whatever enabled.
Right. That's my point. Yeah. Or, as a developer, you would have to add that to your logging.
Have Honey Badger installed.
Honey Badger. Well, if it's a Laravel application, there's actually something else you can install now.
Oh yeah.
This is going to be a new service that recently got announced. Nightwatch. This is a first-class monitoring designed for Laravel. It leans hard into the fact that it's Laravel. This is from the team, the Laravel team. So the new Laravel cloud, all that stuff is getting tied into. This is going to be another service that they provide. The pricing has not been released yet, at least from the last time I saw it hasn't been released. Looking at the website, I'm not seeing any update on that. But what Ted said was that the pricing is probably going to be consistent with basically the same way they're doing pricing for cloud, which is the same regardless of if it's going to be as relatively low. And the same for companies as well as individual will be there. So yeah, this is, we have a special place in our heart for Honey Badger. Honey Badger has been a solid sponsor for a long time. We've been trying to get them to sponsor tech, and we will keep badgering them. We'll badger the Honey Badger. But this is interesting, right? This is an alternative to that and might be a cheaper alternative if your application is a Laravel application today. I don't know if there's any plans moving forward to making it available for more generic PHP solutions or other frameworks. But yeah, they just keep releasing stuff. So it's funny, when this got released, this is like, I don't hate, like, I try not to hate on communities in general. And the core Laravel community, I feel like I enjoy very much. I think they're very friendly, they're very smart, they're very engaging. But there is this fashion of the Laravel community, and I don't even know if they are considered community, but people who follow Laravel. Mm-hmm. Who it's very much like the Apple days, right? Where they're just excited about whatever it is that's being released. And when Laravel announced their new product, Nightwatch, didn't say anything about what it is, what it does, anything. People are cheering. I'm like, why is everybody clapping? What the hell is it? Why is everybody so happy about this? Yeah, woo, Nightwatch. I'm like, what am I missing here? And then he goes on to explain what it is. I'm like, okay, that was great. It's like, those people, they need another conference. I don't hate them. Like, I don't mind, like, they're that excited about it. But, like, y'all need to get another conference and let the professionals focus on, like, the stuff, you know? Don't do all you youping and hollering somewhere else or have another room or something. Yeah, you know, there are people who make money off this stuff. Y'all need to shut up.
That's hilarious. All excited, and you don't know what it is.
Yeah, it was, unless there was a sneak peek that I wasn't aware of, but Taylor was talking like this is the first time he's revealed it, and it was something. It was funny, and you see that. You just see. I like I said, there's this aspect of it that I'm not that person. I'll never be that person. I've always said I try to be the most honest Laravel person out there as far as, criticizing it when needed to be criticized, praising it when it needs to be praised. I use it. I make a living off it. I'm not knocking it. I don't hate Taylor for all his success. And, he needs it. He's been a breath of fresh air for PHP in general. It gives me the eebie-jeebies when I hear somebody say Laravel saved PHP, or, you know, Laravel is PHP. It's like, oh, you guys, we've done this before. WordPress, this is not the first big thing in PHP. And yes, I realize where it seems like PHP's, you know, owes everything to this one thing right now. It's not, and you shouldn't talk like that, but that's me. That's me being me. I'm a dick. We all know this.
Let's see, though, we had a comment from T. Dutrion on YouTube talking about the defer terminate event in Symfony. And I don't quite get it. It says it defers but does not send the response straight away. It waits for everything to be finished if FastCGI is not running. Why would it not? Then why would not it not deferring? Right. Why would it not? So I've done this in PHP, not with a defer method, but I need something to finish, but I need the user to be gone. Like, send them on the way, but yeah. I still need to do stuff. You can send the response and close the connection, so they're on their way, but PHP continues to run because it hasn't terminated yet. It hasn't finished. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why it doesn't just do that if FastCGI isn't available. And maybe Laravel's does. He's saying Symfony's does not. You end up sitting and waiting.
So Symfony has a defer method?
It's according to that comment, I'm assuming.
Defer. We're gonna do this live. Not that we're questioning you or anything. I like to know this stuff. I like to be informed. So there is something on SymfonyCast, which if you are interested in learning Symfony, much like Laracast, you want to go to SymfonyCast. They have I dipped my toes into Symfony a few times, and every time the first thing I do is go back to SymfonyCast and watch it. And there's a chapter here, the defer attribute and conditional activating turbo. So I don't know if this is the same thing, because this looks like it's JavaScript to me. Exports. So I don't know. But yeah, be interesting to know that. And it's not that uncommon. I mean, Laravel uses a lot of Symfony components. So, you know, I wouldn't be that surprising to find out, but I was not aware of it either.
And by supporting SymfonyCast, you're also helping out PHP friend Ryan Weaver, who's battling, what was it, brain cancer?
Brain cancer. Yeah. Uncurable. Incurable.
Yep. Brain cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. All my heart goes out to the guy who's staying positive, good person. So, yeah, something cash. Go out and drop him a coin if you just want to show some love. And he also has a GoFundMe, right?
Yeah.
Does he still have that?
Oh, it's that thing. Yeah. I mean, you could still donate to it, but
yeah,
he's raised
that was a perfect example of the PHP community. Where he opened up this GoFundMe, don't quote me on this, but like within days, he had achieved his goal, which his only goal was to make sure that there was enough money to help with the treatments so that him and his family didn't have to go in debt and all this other stuff. I mean, it's not like he was, you know, nothing else to it really than that. But yeah, the PHP community stepped up and just absolutely crushed it. I don't know where that ended up. Oh, look at you. Thank you. I'm glad you did that. Where did this end up at? Because this is a... What? Holy smokes. This cat should be able to fund a cure for this disease. This stuff. This is great. Yeah. So the goal was 250. Yeah. I don't know if they tell you. I spent 3 weeks relearning. Yeah, I don't know if they tell you how long it took to get there. But it got there fairly quickly. And it's up to 291 now. That is... awesome, and just steadily ticking up. 291,587. That's great, man. So yeah, go for it. Oh, I meant to tell you, John. I don't know if I told you, we actually funded PHPC's Discord for another year. I forgot how we're doing that, but yeah, we're still. I got hit with the email notification of, hey, thank you for your donation. They use the same thing that Internals is using, that foundation. What is foundation using?
That is Open Collective.
Yeah, they're using Open Collective. So, yeah, Have you looked at Open Collective for internals group? I'm very proud of us. We don't get any credit, and I'm not going to get on that soapbox here again today, but our contributions, and this is only our contributions under PHP Architect. It doesn't even include the contributions we've made under Diego Dev. Yeah. Our contributions are getting up there. I think we're getting close to, I think it was 10,000 over the span of time we've been contributing. So it's on their website too. I mean, you guys want to try to call me out on it, feel free. I don't know where it's at exactly on the website. I'm on the website now.
Half of what you said.
5,000?
Yeah.
No way.
I mean, between the two companies, we're at 10, we're 9.2.
But oh, so that was in addition to the other company.
Okay. Yeah, for Diego Dev is 3,700 and PHP Architects 5,500.
5,500. Okay. All right. So yeah, we're almost at 10. Where do you see it at? I always forget where it's at.
So go to the list of PHP Foundation is all of us up. Keep going. Are you on
Open Collective?
Oh, you're not on Open Collective. Go to click on sponsor.
No.
You're on the PHP Foundation site. You need to go to.
Okay. It's not worth
whatever.
It.
It's not worth it. But I'll put it here for you so you have it.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Yeah, I'm happy with what we've been doing. So that's still not even counting, not even mentioning all the projects we back from GitHub and all that.
GitHub and Patreon. GitHub, Patreon, and I felt like there's another way we were Open Collective, like you just said.
Oh yeah, you're right. It was only 5,500 right there. Oh, one tab. This tab right here. We need to update the logo, man. What are you doing with that?
I don't know if I have access to it anymore.
Oh really? It's gonna be like a Patreon thing where we're just continuing to donate because we don't know how to stop.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, you're down there too. Yeah. Yeah. Cool, man. So, yep. I'm proud of it's not a lot, but it's what we can do, and I'm proud of it.
Yeah, we make a living off PHP. We give back.
That's the idea. That is the idea.
Yep.
Okay, I feel like we've talked a little long. I got one more one I want to touch on because I just want to get it off the board here. But there's a security vulnerability in AI, and more specifically the Slack AI, where people who carefully craft requests can get information from private channels that they're not a part of.
Really?
And yeah, it's pretty crazy. I even sent this to Eric Mann, our security guy. I'm like, hey, I don't know if there's enough here for a column, but this feels like something needs to be talked about. And there's been this sort of information leakage conversation around AI, where AI has, made like API keys part of its learning. And it was basically information leakage where it's just, it was accessible, so it made it. That's different, right? This is where somebody in a public channel can craft a request to see things from a private channel that they're not a part of. And I can get
if you're on the same server.
This is one of the things I wasn't quite positive on. Yes, I want to say yes.
Or same workspace or whatever they call it.
Yeah, I want to say yes. You have to be on base, but I wasn't totally clear on that. I feel like it would have to be, but I don't know anymore. Oh, give this a read. This will be in the show notes as well. If you're on Slack, we don't use the AI in Slack, but I don't know if you even have an option anymore. I think it is like baking it in.
Did you actually put it in there? Don't worry, I got it into the show notes.
Yeah,
I got it.
It's in there. I already moved it over.
Well, where am I not seeing it?
It was at the top. It's still at the top.
Oh, I didn't go to the top. That would be why.
Yeah. So yeah, just something to keep an eye out for if you're a Slack user. I don't know how worked up you should get over this stuff, but I feel like it's important for us to know about that AI stuff, man. It's not, I'm a fan of it. I use it on the regular now. Like, it's my best friend. John's, you know, had to step down from that role. And, you know, but yeah, I don't know, man. I just, there, oh, we'll see where this ends up taking us. But that's it. But what are you laughing about?
We're done. Seeing where it's going to take us. Let's see where this outro takes us. We appreciate everyone that's hanging out with us, watching us. Thanks for hanging out. And until next time, keep listening.
Keep coding. And keep
reading.
That was horrible.
It was. We'll workshop.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.